Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his
battle. Ah, yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this show is for the 1st of December, 2017. We are in the book of 2 Chronicles. We will be beginning at chapter 16 today. This is part of the book that is going through all these different kings. We're going to be talking about King Asa today, starting out, and verses 1 through 6 of chapter 16 of 2 Chronicles. You can reference 1 Kings 15, chapters, or verses 17 through 22. I'm a little dyslexic here this morning. Let's get started here. Verse 1. In the 6th and 30th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Yehudah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Yehudah. The tribes were split. The northern tribes were warring with Yehudah and Benjamin. So this is what is going on. Verse 2. Then Asa brought out silver and gold from the treasuries of the house of Yahweh and of the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, that would be Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, that's Damascus. He was buying help. Verse 3. A league between me and you, as between my father and your father. Behold, I have sent you silver and gold. Go, in other words, walk, 1980, break your league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from upon me. Okay, that was his intent. You know, stop being friends with them and get this guy off of me. That's what he said. They were under siege and he wanted them gone. Verse 4. And Ben-Hadad listened unto King Asa and sent the commanders of his armies against the cities of Israel. And they smote Eon and Dan and Abel-Maim and all the storage cities of the Naphtali, the tribe of Naphtali. Verse 5. And it was, when Baasha heard it, that he left off building of Ramah and let his work cease. And you can reference 1 Kings 15:21 on that. Verse 6. Then Asa the king took all Yehuda, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and the timber of it, with which Baasha was building, and he built with it Geba and Mizpah. Verse 7 of chapter 16. Let me get a hit of coffee here. Ah, yes. And at that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Yehuda, and said unto him, because you have relied on the king of Aram, and not relied on Yahweh your Elohim, upon which is the army of the king of Aram escaped from your hand. Verse 8, were not the Cushi and the Lubi a huge army and very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on Yahweh, he gave them into your hand. Verse 9, for the eyes of Yahweh run to and fro throughout the whole land, to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect or whole toward him. Upon which you have done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth, you shall have wars. In other words, you really fouled up. You didn't rely on Yahweh. Well, here today, we're calling upon Yahweh to help us out with all this wickedness. At least we of Christian identity and those that believe in Yahweh are calling on Yahweh. But most of the nation and other nations are trying to rely on themselves. What are we going to do? Well, no, what's Yahweh going to do? It needs to be Yahweh's glory. We can't take the glory on ourselves. We can help. He'll use us. Oh, absolutely. He'll have us fight the wars. But we have to give him the glory so he will help us. Because without his help, we're just men. We're not going to get anything done. This is too big for us to handle right now. It's got to be with Yahweh's hand, and we need to remember that. Verse 10, and this is a typical arrogant king here. That's what he's describing. Verse 10, then Asa was angry with the seer and put him in a prison house. For he was in a rage with him because of this. And Asa oppressed of the people the same time. There we go down on 11. Pay attention. There we go again. And behold, the acts of Asa, first and last, lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Yehuda and Israel. Verse 12, and you can reference 1 Kings, chapter 15, verse 23. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet. In other words, he probably had diabetes and his feet were rotten. Until his disease was exceedingly great. Yet in his disease, he sought not to Yahweh, but to the physicians. The Raphaim, the healers. Verse 13, and Asa slept with his fathers, in other words, he died, and died in the 41st year of his reign. Verse 14, and they buried him in his own sepulcher, which he had dug for himself in the city of Dawud, and laid him in the bed which was filled with sweet spices of all sorts of mixed ointment work, or that was mixed by the workers in ointment, pardon me. And they burned a very great burning of spices for him. And that's spices of a funeral rite mixed by the workers in ointment. So that takes care of Asa. He's gone. And did not do well for himself. Ignored Yahweh like so many others. Now we're here at chapter 17. I'm trying to draw a line, and I'm trying to dig my ruler out from underneath some stuff so I can draw a red line that I've done this chapter. Chapter 17, this is about Jehoshaphat. Verse 1, and Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his stead and strengthened himself against Israel. All right, this you can reference in 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 41. There was a whole bunch of people named Jehoshaphat, so you have to be very careful. Verse 2, and he placed armies in all the fortified cities of Yehudah and set garrisons in the land of Yehudah and in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa, his father, had captured. Verse 3, and Yahweh was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his forefather David and sought not unto Baalim, false idols. Verse 4, but sought to the Elohim of his forefather and walked in his commandments and not after the deeds of Israel. Israel was in bad apostasy with the golden calves and all that stuff. So he wasn't following along with Israel. Verse 5. Therefore Yahweh established a kingdom in his hand, and all Yehuda brought to Jehoshaphat, boy, I can't talk today, presence, and he had riches and honor in abundance. Verse 6, this is good. And his heart was lifted up in the ways of Yahweh. In other words, he really tried to follow Yahweh's rules. Moreover, he took away the high places and the poles of Asherah out of Yehuda. That's something that prior kings had not done. He took out the pagan worship sites. Verse 7. Also in the third year of his reign, he sent his officers, Ben-Kail, and Obadiah, and Zechariah, and Nethanael, and Michayahu to teach in the cities of Yehuda. They went and taught gospel. Okay, the word of Yahweh. Verse 8. And with them he sent Lewium, even Shemayahu and Netanyahu, and Zebadiah and Asahel, Shemiramoth, and Yaonathan, and Adoniahu, Tobiahu, and Tob Adoniah, Lewium, that's Levites, and with them Elishama and Yehoram, priests. Those are Aharonic priests. Verse 9, and they taught in Yehuda and had the scroll of the teaching, that would be the Torah, of Yahweh with them, and they went around to all the cities of Yehuda and taught the people by command of the king, okay? That makes big points with Yahweh. That's all he wants. He wants us to learn. He wants us to teach. Those that teach the law of Yahweh are blessed. Verse 10, and the fear of Yahweh was upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Yehuda, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat. Okay? Yahweh scared the pants off all these pagan nations all around them. Also, of the Pelishti brought Jehoshaphat presents and tribute, silver. Okay, and the Arabi, those are the Arabians, brought him flocks, 7,700 rams and 7,700 he-goats. And Jehoshaphat proceeded to become great unto highness. And he built in Yehuda fortresses and cities of storage. Okay, and Yehuda was prospering because they followed Yahweh, while the rest of the tribes of Israel, there was just Yehuda and Benjamin, the other ones in the north were in apostasy. Verse 13, and he had much business in the cities of Yehuda, and the men of war, mighty men of valor, in Jerusalem. And these are the accountings of them according to the house of their forefathers. Of Yehuda, the chiefs of thousands. Adnah the chief, and with him mighty men of valor, 300,000. That's a lot of people. Verse 15, and next to him was Jehochanan, the captain, and with him 280,000. Verse 16, and next upon his hand, next to him, was Amasiah, the son of Zichri, who willingly offered himself unto Yahweh. In other words, he dedicated himself to Yahweh's service. He was blessed, and with him 200,000 mighty men of valor. And of Benjamin, the other tribe, Eliada, a mighty man of valor, and with him armed men with bow and shield, 200,000. They had a mighty army. Verse 18, and next to him, in other words, upon his right hand, literally, was Jehozabad, and with him 180,000 armed troops. Verse 19, these served the king. Beside those whom the king put in the fortified cities throughout all Yehuda. All right, now we're going to have, I have a little sinus problem today, just a second. There we go. Chapter 18. There are three different spellings of Micaiah. There's Micah, number 4318, M-I-Y-C-H-A-H. 4319, Micahu, M-I-Y-C-H-A-H-U. And number 4321, Micaiahu, M-I-Y-C-H-A-Y-E-H-U. They're all the same guy. Verse 18. Or chapter 18. I'm sorry, I'm still dyslexic. I need more coffee. I think I will. Oh, I love reading this stuff. It just gets so exciting. Now, Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance and became related by marriage with Achab. Okay, not Ahab, Achab. And after some years, he went down to Achab to Shomeron, that's Samaria. And Achab killed sheep and oxen for him in abundance and for the people that he had with him. Okay. And persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth Gilead. Now they had become friends. This is bad. Because Achab was wicked and an apostate. So Yahweh didn't want Israel and Yehuda fraternizing because they might get polluted. Verse 3, and Achab, king of Israel, said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Yehuda, will you go with me to Ramoth Gilead? And he answered him, I am as you, and my people are as your people, and we will be with you in war. They were going up to make war. Verse 4, and Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, please, at the word of Yahweh today. Well, they weren't worshiping Yahweh, and Yahweh wasn't going to talk to them. Verse 5. Now, we've got these prophets that we're going to talk about here. These were false prophets. They were involved with a calf worship. They were fake, like a lot of our Judeo-Christian preachers are fake today. Worshiping the Talmudists. Verse 5. Therefore the king of Israel gathered together of prophets 400 men and said unto them, shall we go to Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for Elohim will give it into the king's hand. Verse 6. Listen to this. See, Jehoshaphat was a Yahweh worshiper, and something was wrong. Verse 6, but Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of Yahweh besides that we might inquire of him? See, a prophet of Yahweh, different kind of prophet. These were Baal prophets, the golden calf. Verse 7, and the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, just yet one man of whom we may inquire of Yahweh, but I hate him, for he never prophesied good unto me, but always evil. The same is Micaiahu, that's the one I told you, three different spellings, the son of Imlah. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. And the king of Israel called for one of his officers and said, fetch quickly Micaiahu, different spelling, the son of Imlah. You can reference 1 Kings 22, verse 9. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Yehuda, sat either of them on his throne, clothed in their robes, and they sat in a threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Shomeron, that's Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before them. In other words, they were all, and just like they do a dog and pony show, like the preachers today. Verse 10. And Zedekiah, the son of Kenaana, that's hard to pronounce, had made him horns of iron and said, "Thus says Yahweh, with these you shall push Aram until they be consumed." Like pushing with the horns of a big bull. You can reference 1 Kings 22, verse 11. Verse 11 here. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, "Go up unto Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for Yahweh shall give it into the hand of the king." They were all liars. Okay. Verse 12. And the messenger that went to call Micaiahu spoke to him, saying, "Behold, the words of the prophet are good to the king with one mouth." In other words, they're all saying the same thing. "Let your word, therefore, please be like one of theirs and speak you good." He wasn't having any of that. This is a real prophet. Verse 13. And Micaiahu said, "As Yahweh lives, even what my Elohim says, that I will speak." In other words, he isn't having any of that. He's going to say what he's supposed to say. Verse 14. And when he was come to the king said unto him, "Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear?" In other words, shall I hold back? And he says, "Go up and prosper, and they shall be given into your hand." Mockingly. Okay. And the king said to him, "How many times shall I make you swear that you say nothing but the truth to me in the name of Yahweh?" Here's verse 16. And you can reference Numbers 27:17, 1 Kings 22:17, Ezekiel 34, verse 5, Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, and Mark chapter 6, 34. Verse 16, "Then he said, I did see all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have no shepherd. And Yahweh said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace." Verse 17. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "Did I not tell you he would not prophesy good unto me, but evil?" Verse 18. Again he said, "Therefore hear the word of Yahweh. I saw Yahweh sitting on his throne, and all the hosts of the sky standing on his right hand and on his left." And verses 19 through 21, you can reference 1 Kings chapter 22, verses 20 through 22. "And Yahweh said, who shall persuade Ahab, king of Israel, that he may go up and fall," in other words, get killed, "at Ramoth Gilead? And one spoke, saying after this manner, and another saying after that manner." Verse Verse 20, then there came out a spirit and stood before Yahweh and said, I will persuade him. And Yahweh said unto him, how? Verse 21, and he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. In other words, the ones that were prophesying before that were false. And said, you shall persuade him and you shall also prevail. Go out and do so. Verse 22, now therefore behold, Yahweh has put a lying spirit in the mouth of these your prophets, and Yahweh has spoken evil against you. Verse 23, and you can reference 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 24. Then Zedekiah, the son of Kenaana, came near and smote Micaiahu upon the cheek and said, which way went the spirit of Yahweh from me to speak to you? He's mocking him. He walked up and slapped him. Verse 24, and Micaiahu said, behold, you shall see on that day when you shall go into an inner chamber to hide yourself. In other words, you'll be so scared you'll be going inside trying to hide. Verse 25. Then the king of Israel said, take you Micaiahu and carry him back to Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son. Verse 26, and say, thus says the king, put this fellow in a house of confinement and feed him with the bread of oppression and with the water of oppression until I return in peace. This is an important verse, verse 27. And Micaiahu said, if you certainly return in peace, then has not Yahweh spoken by me? And he said, listen, all you people. That's a foretelling. Verse 28, so the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Yehuda, went up to Ramoth-Gilead. 29, and the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and will go to the battle. But put you on your robes. So the king of Israel disguised himself and they went to the battle. In other words, he wanted to fight anonymously. He was a tough guy. You can reference 1 Kings 22, verse 30. Verse 30. Now the king of Aram had commanded the officers of the chariots that were with him, saying, fight you not with small or great, save only with the king of Israel. Verse 31, and it came to be, when the officers of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, that they said, it is the king of Israel. Therefore they surrounded about him to fight, but Jehoshaphat cried out, and Yahweh helped him. And Elohim instigated them to depart from him. Because he was a Yahweh worshiper and was being obedient. Verse 32, for it was that when the officers of the chariots saw that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back again from pursuing him. Verse 33, and a man drew a bow in innocence and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the armor. Therefore he said to his chariot driver, turn your hand that you may carry me out of the army, for I am wounded. That's as made sick, okay? Verse 34, you can reference 1 Kings 22, verse 35. And the battle increased that day, with the king of Israel stayed up in his chariot facing Aram until the evening, and about the time of the sun going down, he died. In other words, he bled out. Bled out. Didn't return in peace. The prophet told him true. Got killed. And here we are in chapter 19. I want to take a look at 20 to see how long 20 is all. Pretty long chapter. I think I'm only going to get 19 done here. Verse 1 of chapter 19. And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. Verse 2. And Jehu, the son of Kanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, listen to this, should you help the ungodly and love them that hate Yahweh? Therefore there's wrath upon you from before Yahweh. Nevertheless, this is verse 3, there are good things found in you, and in that you have removed the poles of Asherah from the land and have prepared your heart to seek Elohim. Verse 4. And Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem, and he went out again through the people from Beer Sheba, that's the well of Sheba, to the hill country of Ephraim, and brought them back unto Yahweh Elohim of their forefathers. In other words, he went out and evangelized. He preached Yahweh. It's a good thing. Good thing. Verse 5. And he set judges in the land throughout all the fortified cities of Yehuda, city by city. Verse 6. And he said to the judges, see what you do, for you judge not for Adam, but for Yahweh, who is with you in the words of judgment. Verse 7. Now let the fear of Yahweh be upon you. That can be fear or the awe. Take heed and do it, for there is no iniquity with Yahweh our Elohim, nor partiality toward persons, nor taking of bribes. In other words, you can't buy him off. Moreover, in Jerusalem did Jehoshaphat set of the Levium and of the priests, and of the chiefs of the clans of Israel, for the judgment of Yahweh, and for controversies. That's number 7379. When they return to Jerusalem. Verse 9. And he charged them, saying, this shall you do in the reverence of Yahweh, faithfully and with a whole heart. In other words, I don't want you taking bribes. I don't want you fool around making judgments because somebody's going to buy you off, or somebody is an important man and his opponent in a matter is a little guy and not important and he can't do anything for you. He wanted honest judges. Well, we need some of those today because they're taking bribes left and right. It's terrible. Our system of courts, not just here, but over in all the Israel countries, has been so polluted by greed that justice is non-existent. The rich is going to step on the poor. Whether they're in the right or wrong, they're going to win. They're buying all these people off. We've got that going on today. Same situation. There's nothing new under the sun. They have a bunch of crooks in. Well, this is what Jehoshaphat warned them against. Don't be doing this. Because Yahweh's going to come down on you for it. There's going to be wrath. You're going to be severely punished. Not just by me. You're going to be smitten. Well, these guys today, they think they're 10 foot tall and bulletproof, and they're going to be smitten. They just don't realize who they're messing with. All right, let's get back to this. Verse 10. And whatever cause, that's a legal case, that comes to you of your kinsmen that dwell in their cities between blood and blood, in other words, kinfolk, between law, that's Torah, and commandment, statutes and judgments, you shall warn them that they trespass not against Yahweh. In other words, you guys want to sue each other, want to do all of this. What's Yahweh's Torah say? You better look at that first before you come to court. In other words, they trespass not against Yahweh. And wrath come upon you. In other words, if you take it on yourself to judge instead of going by the law of Yahweh, wrath will come upon you, like I just said, and upon your kinsmen. This do, and you shall not trespass. In other words, if you warn them and quote Yahweh's laws, you won't be breaking Yahweh's laws, and wrath won't come down upon you. Verse 11. And behold, Amariyahu, the chief priest or head priest, is over you in all matters of Yahweh. And Zebadiahu, the son of Ishmael, the commander of the house of Yehuda, for all the king's matters. Also the Lewium shall be officers before you. Deal courageously, and Yahweh shall be with the good. And he's going to be against the bad. Okay. Chapter 20 is a very long chapter, and I can't get to it injustice today. So I will be doing that on Monday, the 4th of December. I don't like to cut any of this teaching short, and I do like to do a commentary at the end like I'm going to do now. So, I'm going to hold off on doing chapter 20 until Monday. We see a great analogy here with the times then and what was going on. And today, as we study in Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, and we see the apostasy that went on, and we see exactly what Yahweh did, why would we expect Yahweh to deal with us in a different manner? All right, there are a number of people that really want to do what's right. And there are a number of people that really don't. And then there are those in the middle that just don't give a hoot and a holler either way, as long as they've got their comfort zone to fall back on. It doesn't matter that there's all this evil going on. And boy, oh boy, oh boy, there is a lot of evil going on. All this pedophilia and election buying and wars and rumors of wars and the money manipulation. Ah, coffee. And murders, killings, false flag shootings, real shootings, gang violence, rape. I mean, I really don't need to go on. You listen. Even the mainstream media reports some of the stuff. A lot of the stuff they report is psychological programming. It's propaganda. But some stuff slips through. And if you're in on the internet and you look at a lot of the sites, a lot of the truther sites, not just EFR. We report a lot of stuff. David James does. Pastor Dan does. Eli and I do. I mean, we're all hammering on it. And we're telling you what's going on out there. Well, it's all biblical. Everything that we say, especially on EFR, has to do with what the Bible prophesies and what we're told is going to happen in these last days. And if you think we're not in the last days, you better read the book again. The whole thing, all the way in, especially through Revelations. Now, we know that it's bad right now. Yeah, okay, but it's going to get worse. Just as in the book of 2 Chronicles here, it's going to get worse in that book. It's not going to get better for them. The kings are gradually going downhill, and they're making more and more and more mistakes. And you got the tribes split up. You've got 10 tribes in the north of Israel, and then Yehuda and Benjamin in the south in Jerusalem, and Samaria is where they had the golden calves and all the false priests and prophets, and back and forth and back and forth. Well, aren't they polarizing the United States? Aren't they trying to divide all the nations of Europe along racial and religious lines? And there's a lot of resistance, especially in Europe, with the Patriots, and they're arresting people for speech, not for deeds, just for for saying the truth, or arresting truthers. I mean, whew. It's getting bad. But we are told in the Holy Book that it will be so. We're warned. We're given due warning. And we have to prepare ourselves spiritually as well as physically for this coming confrontation, these battles that are going to take place. And there'll be skirmishes, and then there'll be big battles. And there'll be more and more and more oppression, because that's the way of the children of the devil. And they are very powerful right now. But we are seeing their power showing cracks. And people are becoming more and more aware of who and what they are. And resentments are rising up. They're not getting a free ride anymore. There's more and more and more people exposing them, and they can't be exposed and survive. They're like cockroaches in a kitchen. When you turn the light on, they all run because you can stomp them. Well, that's what's happening now. We're turning on the lights, one light at a time. And it seems, if you look around, there are more and more and more of us that are shining these lights. People are starting to get on board, and people are starting to listen. Not the numbers that they have. In truth, they've got a lot more than we do, except we've got Yahweh on our side. And if we have Yahweh, who can be against us? We will prevail because Yahweh will prevail. Okay? It all starts with our personal lives, how we live them, how we present ourselves to the public. Not fake. I'm not talking a dog and pony show. I'm talking real faith and living it daily. And that's tough for a lot of people because of pressures from society. Oh, we don't want to hear that you want to have the Sabbath and you want to keep the Sabbath. You have to come into work or we're going to fire you. Wow. That's hard for a family man to take now, isn't it? Very, very, very difficult. Faced with that, a lot will lose faith and will knuckle under, you know, and it says, who overcomes in the end will be saved. Faithfulness even unto death. That's what Scripture says. Overcomes. Even if you fall, you'll be back. He who loves his life shall lose it. Well, that's your life here. In the world, worldly life. And he who loses his life or abandons it or is killed. It can be either way. Abandoning the world in favor of Yahweh's laws, you will save your life. What life? Your eternal life. Maybe not the life here. But this is only a temporary thing. We're looking at eternity. Now, this is tough because this life and this body that you're living in is the only life you know. There's no reincarnation. that's all you've got. And to lay that down like our Messiah did is very hard. And the fear of death is strong in a lot of people. If confronted and said, if you don't renounce Yahweh, I'm going to shoot you in the head, I would utter a prayer to Yahweh and say, shoot. Because the consequences of renouncing Yahweh is so horrible. Just so horrible. I can't comprehend it. I can't do it. I have got to be on Yahweh's side. There's nothing they could offer me. Well, brothers and sisters, it's almost that time. I need to leave a little thing for a station break. I will be back with the next Word for Word on Monday, the 4th of December. May Yahweh bless and keep you. Shalom Aleichem.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.